Good morning, everyone. How are you, Mother's Day? You don't know what to say back, do you? It's weird, isn't it? Somebody said to me earlier, and to you. So anyway, we're taking a break from our current sermon series today over Christ's victory over, well, everything. But with me, Mother's Day, I wanted to share something that I hope will bless mothers, but all of us as well at the same time. So I took a look at the various mothers in and around my life. I looked at the mothers of the young people, those in First Friends around here, and of course my own wife. And I found there is one thing they all have in common. So are you ready for this stunning revelation? They're all really busy. It is really busy being a mum, but let's be honest, actually it's something we can all relate to, isn't it? We're all busy. Busyness isn't confined to just mothers and motherhood. Most of us, in fact, when we're asked, how are you doing? We'll often say, yeah, good, but busy. Which is why today I wanted to talk about, I want to inspire us with, I want to dream about Sabbath. Now, I know what you're thinking, not another sermon about Sabbath. We hear them all the time, and I'm not probably going to say anything new this morning, but when I look around, I don't think I see many people living in the blessing that is the Sabbath. So clearly there must be more for us to discover here. But with that in mind, I feel like I've got to put a disclaimer out at the beginning. I don't get this right. I'm not stood here this morning saying, I get this totally right. You should listen to what I'm saying and what I'm doing. Hardly at all. I hope I'm just like you guys. I'm trying to learn what it is to live in the blessing of following Jesus. So you may well listen to this morning and think, Chris, you massive hypocrite. And you wouldn't necessarily be wrong, because I don't get it right every time. But I do want to share what God's been blowing my mind with to do with Sabbath as he expands and expands what it means and what Sabbath is and what it could be. And at this point, I do want to say, if you've not read it, I really recommend The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And big thanks to Lauren, who bought it for me. It has been brilliant and just massively changed the way I've looked at Sabbath. So let's dive into this biblical theme of Sabbath this morning. But before we do, let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the blessings that you give us and the blessings that you desire for us to have. We pray this morning as we look at the Sabbath that you have given us, you would help us see your vision for it, your desire for it, and your desire for us. Amen. So we do seem to live in an age of busyness, don't we? As I've already mentioned, it's often how many of us describe our lives when we're asked how we're doing. But I think it goes even deeper than that. I don't know about you, but for me at least, I don't just find myself busy or even make myself busy, but sometimes I wear that busyness as a badge of honour. For many reasons we could probably spend a long time looking at, our culture seems to have equated being busy with being successful. I know I've fallen into that trap of thinking, if I'm busy, I must be important. If I'm busy, then I must be needed. If I'm busy, then maybe I'm loved. Let me be really clear, though. Being busy isn't necessarily wrong in itself. It depends what you're busy with. But the danger is when we have busyness as a measure of success or a measure of value or even a measure of love, then we are in danger of misliving, of giving our lives to things and activities that have no lasting benefit to anyone. And whether we realize it or not, a lot of us, or maybe it is just me, have bought into that lie that busyness equals value. And so we live lives that are hurried, lives that are busy and tiring and draining and even at times destructive. And it seems so far from that life in all its fullness that Jesus said he came to bring us. So what do we do? Well, as is always the case, God is way ahead of us and provides us with something to fight back against that busyness of our culture. He's given us the Sabbath. Now, I don't know what you think when you hear the word Sabbath, but I would actually like to know what you think, if you'd be so kind as to tell me. So we're going to try something a little bit different this morning, and I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit technical. So if you grab your phones, if you've got them with you, full permission to get your phone out right now, and hopefully... That's not good. Hey, hopefully you'll see on the screen here. What I want you to do, if you've got your phone, is to simply go to menti.com, www.menti.com, and use the code 2975 4147, and then answer that question for me. What word comes into your mind when you hear the word Sabbath? And hopefully as you do, the words will come up here in a lovely word cloud and we'll hear what each other are saying, what we feel comes to our minds when we say the word Sabbath. While you do that, I'm going to share with you what our young people said. I asked them the same question this week and they said some really profound things, as you might expect. They said holy, sacred. Oh, and if your word comes up, by the way, carry on, because if the word gets bigger, it means more people have said it. So exciting. Anyway, they said sacred, a time to reflect, to rest, to recover, to worship. They did say set apart. They didn't say Saturday. How interesting. They said things like service, food. They didn't say that, but well done. Yeah, I totally associate Sabbath with food. Thank you for sending those in. This is what it means. A lot of that is what it means to be Sabbath. Radical. How incredible is that? Pharisees, listening to God, refreshment, reboot. Thank you. The Sabbath is many of these things. The word literally means to stop or to delight. It's a day of rest, a day of worship, a day of family, a day of being set apart. It is God's day. It is so many of these things you've written up here. But I do want to share with you one more thing our young people said, because I felt it was incredibly profound. When I asked them, what comes to your mind when we say Sabbath? The answer was, I don't get it. Now, probably they meant, I don't understand. In fact, that's almost certainly what they went. But what if, tragically, they've tapped into what many of us feel? We see and we think, and we get a glimpse of this is what Sabbath should be. But in our heart of hearts, we go, but I don't get it. Today, I hope that we will be inspired to chase it. You know, in every gospel, thank you, tech team, that was amazing. In every gospel, Jesus teaches about the Sabbath. And often he does in response to criticism. Today, as we've been working through John's gospel in our sermon series, I thought we'd explore a moment in John where Jesus talks about the Sabbath. We find it in John 5, if you want to follow along, at the beginning of a new collection of stories that John has collated for us, known as the festival cycle, where Jesus uses the images of festivals or feasts to make claims about who he is. And the very first story in this festival cycle is one about the Sabbath, which I don't know about you, but already has me thinking, I've got a much smaller understanding of what Sabbath is than John does. In placing it here, John seems to be telling us that this Sabbath isn't just a day off. I mean, it is a day off, but it's more than that. It's actually a festival. It's a feast day. It's a weekly festival, a weekly feast day. Well done to whoever put food up there, because it's a weekly feast. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm up for a weekly feast. But it also tells us something about how we are to approach the Sabbath. You know, for a moment, I want you to take just a breath and think about how you approach the major festivals of our year. How you approach Easter, how you approach the summer holidays, how you approach Christmas. Each one of those we approach with planning and preparation. They need planning and preparation. So does the Sabbath. Hebrews 4, 9 to 11 says this, there remains then a Sabbath rest for God's people. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. To really enter into the blessing of Sabbath, to really enter into rest, ironically, takes effort. It takes planning and preparation. It takes self-control. We have to be intentional about actually saying no to really good and wonderful things so that we can say yes to the very best things. How would your Sunday or whatever day you call your Sabbath, how would it change if you treated it like a festival? What would you prepare and plan? What would you look forward to? What would you do differently if you saw the Sabbath for what it is, a weekly festival of rest and worship? What does that even look like? What should it look like? I can't answer any of those questions for you, I'm afraid. That's all for you to take away and dream about. But what we can do together this morning very briefly is perhaps look at what Sabbath looked like in the very beginning. What that weekly festival looked like at the very beginning. So as you no doubt know, the first Sabbath was found in Genesis 2, the second chapter of the first book of the Bible. And it says this: by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rests on that seventh day. But let's stop. Did you catch it? God rested. If the being of infinite amazingness, the Creator God rested, how much more do we mortals need to rest? But you might say, you know, Chris, I'm an extrovert. I don't like resting. I like being busy. And that's great, wonderful. But, you know, God rested. You might say, but Chris, I have two little kids and they're manic and an absolute nightmare. And I'll be like, I understand, I really do. But God rested. You might say, but it's a really busy time at work and it's just for a season. So maybe I can just skip it for a little bit. But you know what? God rested. There will always be excuses. There will always be good and wonderful things we could give our time to, but none of them change the fact that God rested. We need to rest, and in fact, he commands us to rest as well. I don't know about you, but I'll be honest, sometimes I feel guilty about resting, a lot of the time. I think there's so much more I could be doing. There's so much more I could be helping with. There's so many people I could be helping or looking after, that to take time to rest actually feels self-indulgent and to me seems ungodly. But then you look and you go, hold on a second. God rested. So if this morning you're like me and feel guilty when you think about Sabbath and resting, I want you to hear two things this morning. The first is that God commands you to rest. And the second, well, hopefully you got it by now, God rested. But have you ever wondered what God's rest looked like? On that seventh day, what did God's rest actually look like? I can't see that on that day God just decided to finish off a few chores that he hadn't got to in the week, like, I'll just finish the platypus. I don't think he just got on with things that were in every day. He didn't pay bills. He almost certainly didn't go to IKEA. Just saying. But what did he do? We don't know. We don't know for certain. But I think it's really amazing to stop and think. It's a day where he stopped and he delighted. And it's a day for us to stop and delight in him, in life, in creation. Initially, I felt a bit funny saying it's a day for us to stop and delight in creation, because it feels a bit new agey, doesn't it? But it's literally one of the first things we see at the institution of this festival, at the first Sabbath. Because although we don't know what God did on that first day, I don't think it's far beyond our realms of imagination to say that on the day after God has spent 6 days creating the universe, he took a day to delight in his creation. But what I also love about that idea is that you can guarantee, as God was delighting in his creation was delighting in him. So we come back to that question we almost got to a little bit earlier. How do you delight in God? Now, there's no guidance here. There's no stipulation or rules of how to do this, how to Sabbath, because how can there be? It's such a personal and unique thing for each of us. What delights you about God might not delight me. I'm sure it would, but it might not. What it looks like for you to delight in life, to delight in creation, to delight in God may be different from me. So what is it? What is it for you? Dan Allender, in his book called Sabbath, says this: the Sabbath is an invitation to enter delight. The Sabbath, when experienced as God intended, is the best day of our lives. Sabbath is the holy time where we feast and play and dance and sing and pray and laugh and tell stories and read and play and walk and watch creation in all its fullness. Few people are willing to enter into Sabbath and to sanctify it, to make it holy, because a full day of joy and delight is more than most people can bear in a lifetime, let alone in a week. Would you dare in the coming weeks to enter into Sabbath, to experience a full day of joy and delight? What would it look like for you to live a Sabbath like this, to plan and prepare for a day of rest, worship, joy, and delight? What would you do? And I ask you because the invitation is yours today to enter into a day like this. It's yours. God commands it and he has gifted it to us. Anyway, let's get back to the story in John 5 because I got a little bit sidetracked. Anyway, in John 5, Jesus heals a man by a pool who's been ill for 38 years. We aren't told exactly what's the matter with the man, but after talking with him, Jesus says, pick up your mat, get up, pick up your mat and walk, which the man does, completely healed of whatever has afflicted him. However, the Jewish leaders are unhappy because the man is carrying his mat because, dun, 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 he's doing it on the Sabbath. So they challenge the man and then eventually begin to harass Jesus. So if you're following along in John 5, we're going to pick up at verse 16. It says this, as a result, the Jewish leaders were harassing Jesus since he had done these things on the Sabbath. Jesus replied, my Father is still working, and I am working too. For this reason, the Jewish leaders wanted to even more to kill him, not only because he was doing away with the Sabbath, but also because he called God his own Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Now, I'll be honest. When I looked at this story, I was super tempted just to jump to Mark's gospel instead. Why? Well, because here I am trying to tell you about the beauty of the Sabbath and the way God rested, and then Jesus is working on it. In preparing it, I was like, Jesus, man, what are you doing? Come on, you're contradicting yourself. But of course, he's not, is he? Whenever we perceive a contradiction in Scripture, it's usually an invitation for us to look deeper. And so what is Jesus doing here? Well, I want to say I think he's teaching us about the Sabbath and about himself. You see, these Jewish leaders, they held the Sabbath in high esteem. They took God's command, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And they were serious about doing that, which sounds good, right? That sounds like a good thing for them to do. But whilst they definitely understood that the word Sabbath and the meaning of Sabbath was to stop, they'd entirely missed that it was also to delight. They made rules above and beyond what God had asked to make sure that they and those around them never even came close to breaking God's command about that day, to come close to working on that day, that no one would fail to stop and thereby break that command. But in doing so, they completely missed the point. They became slaves to the festival. They became slaves to a day. Jesus sums it up beautifully in Mark's account of a similar conversation. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They were so concerned with keeping the Sabbath holy, it became a chore, a burden, an affliction, rather than what it was always meant to be, which was a blessing. If you're sat there this morning and you're feeling like everything I'm saying is just laying more and more of a burden on you, that you feel like everything I'm saying is calling out that you don't keep the Sabbath holy, that you wouldn't even know what to do if you tried to keep a Sabbath, then can I ask you this moment to stop? The Sabbath is not a burden for us to carry. The Sabbath was made for us, for you. It's not an obligation, but an invitation to a day of delight, of rest, of worship and of joy. And it's yours so that you might enjoy the gift of life that God has given you and that you might enjoy life in him. That's what Jesus is doing in this passage. He's teaching them what the Sabbath was always meant for, but I believe he's also teaching them about himself. Earlier, I said how we're entering into the festival cycle in John's gospel. And we see here how Jesus takes the festival of the Sabbath and uses its purpose and tradition to reveal something about himself. In this case, he reveals his sonship, the fact that he calls God Father. He reveals his divinity, that he is in fact equal with God because he is God made flesh. But here also is one of the most important lessons we'll ever learn. And it's one that I think we often forget, that we forget over and over and over again. And it's this: Jesus is God and you aren't. You are not God. Jesus can work on the Sabbath. He's God. You are not God. And I know that's obvious, and I doubt many of you this morning will be sitting there claiming to be the divine almighty creator. At least I really hope not. But we do forget. Isn't that what sin is? A choice of going our own way, of saying, I'm God over my life, not you. But we forget in other ways as well. And so I'll share with you something someone once told me. But before I do that, let me tell you, I love, if you haven't worked it out by now, I love young people. I love working with them. I could spend a considerable amount of time this morning telling you why and how and all the amazing things about them and the joy it is to see them grow in discipleship and faith, about the joy of discovering things with them, about God's justice and his character. Working with young people is a joy and a privilege, but it can be painful as well. Because as much as I could tell you about the awesome things, I could also tell you about the pain of watching some of them walk away. Of watching some who have been so passionate just fall away from him and even sometimes come to despise him and his church. It's painful enough to watch as a youth leader. And so I hope never to experience the pain of some mothers and fathers here who must the experience they must have of watching their own children do the same thing. Being to that situation, I want to share some good news that a friend shared with me when I was lamenting this with them. And the good news is this: I am not the good shepherd. You are not the good shepherd. There's more good news. There is a good shepherd. Jesus, who is God, who pursues and chases, who sits with and watches over and ultimately seeks to carry home every single one who has walked away. I need reminding of that. And I'd be reminding of that often. In fact, I could do a reminding of that weekly. If only there was a day of the week I could take to remind myself there is an active and amazing God who loves me and everyone I love. Hold on. There is. The Sabbath is a day of worship and rest, but it's also a day for us to gain perspective, to remember I am not God, but I know who is. The Sabbath is a day of worship and rest, a day for us to gain perspective, but I believe it is also a blessing God has given us and designed to help us limit the speed of life. A chance to enjoy what is going on in this very moment. And you have all been super patient this morning, and now has nearly come the time where you can eat whatever it is you picked up at the front door. So if you want to be a part of that for the moment, please do grab your chocolate or your blueberry, if you choose a blueberry. Well done, you. And in a moment, oh, if you'd like to, please unwrap your sweet. But wait, don't put it in your mouth just yet. Because what I want to do in this moment is I want us to experience a part of what the Sabbath is, what it's for, by being present in this moment and actually savouring what you're about to have. So if you haven't already, please unwrap your sweet. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to bite it or put it all in your mouth, depending on the size of your mouth. But rather than just eat it as fast as possible, I'm going to ask you to just let it sit on your tongue a moment. So feel free to do that now. Pop it in, take a bite, but just let it sit there for just a moment. And I want you to concentrate on the sensation of it sitting on your tongue, of it melting or not. I want you to taste it. Really focus on the flavor. Can you smell it in your nose even though it's in your mouth? Focus on the every sensation that's going on right now. And when you're ready, please feel free to chew it or suck it, however you like to enjoy it. But the key is that, enjoy it. Savor it. Think about everything that is going on and then praise God for what it is you're experiencing. That is what Sabbath is about. Delighting in what God has made. I wonder, in the same amount of time it took you to eat that one sweet, how many could you normally have managed? I reckon I could have done 3 or 4 in that time. But I guarantee I wouldn't have enjoyed them as much as savoring that one. The Sabbath is there to help us, to train us to be present. To be present in every moment. To be present with our families. To be present in our relationships. To be present in church. To be present in our workplaces. And to be present in our world. Taking a day a week to stop and enjoy everything helps us be present in everything else. We need the Sabbath. It's not an optional extra. We need it. It's a blessing, an invitation, even a command, and we need it. And it might seem odd that it is a command because it's kind of like God commanding ice cream or commanding chocolate. But God commands it. Even though it's a wonderful thing, he commands it because he knows we need it. Human beings have always needed it. But I wonder if it's even more important and significant today in our culture, where busyness is tied up with worth and value. Maybe our prophetic act to the world is to Sabbath. To a world that says your only value is in how productive you are, we show them a day where by their standards we are entirely unproductive because our value doesn't come from production, but from God. To a world that says you're important if you're busy, we show them a day of unhurried grace because our importance comes not from our busyness, but from our God's love for us. Can you imagine just for a moment what a difference we might make in the lives of our families and neighbours if we took a hold of this invitation, this command to Sabbath, to be fully present? Because I truly believe our world needs the Sabbath now more than ever, and it's our job to show them. We need the Sabbath. We need it to rest, to worship, to be reminded that we are not God, but that we can meet with him. We can delight in him and his creation. That we can live lives fully present. And that the world might see their true worth and value that lies beyond their busyness. To me, it doesn't seem whether we should Sabbath or not is a question. It's commanded of us and God rested. Whether it be good for us is also seemingly not a question either. It sets a limit on the speed of our lives and enriches our lives by training us to live in the present. So then we're left with just one question, really, a difficult one. Will we? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the blessing of Sabbath. We recognize that we don't always enter into it the way you would love us to. And we ask right now, you would help us see the beauty of what you have tried to give us and we would accept it. We would welcome it. We would make effort to go towards it. That we would truly know what it is to rest in you, to delight in you. That we might recognize we are not you, but we are so blessed to know you. God, would you help us be your people and live the way you would have us live? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.